Good afternoon. Thank you for your attendance today. It's very appreciated. What I'm going to present today is part of my dissertation work when I was at Berkeley. So I want to thank some sponsors here, Robert Wood Johnson, Commonwealth Fund, California Healthcare Foundation. They are all sponsors of the National Study of Physician Organizations, which I was a part of during my time there. And also Sac State, which helped out with a faculty development grant. And I have no disclaimers or no disclosures to make regarding this presentation. As many of you know, care management processes are fruitful methods of implementing the chronic care model concept in physician organizations, a way of redesigning practice. The four specifically have been very productive and very fruitful for lowering utilization of chronic care patients and for increasing clinical process outcomes. Those are disease registries, automated practice guidelines for physicians, providing feedback to physicians for the quality of their chronic care patients, and also having non-physician case managers to help in patient education and intervention aspects. The National Study of Physician Organizations has had two rounds of surveys, and their goal is to measure the extent of CMP use in physician organizations, in large physician organizations, 20 or more physicians, for these four chronic diseases: asthma, congestive heart failure, depression, and diabetes. Unfortunately, we found that CMP use is quite low. Less than really half of the CMPs are being used in these large physician organizations, even though there has been some increase, mostly through the adoption of disease registries. The current NSPO work has focused mainly on identifying organizational capabilities that are associated with CMP use. For example, larger groups with more clinical IT capability, groups that receive public recognition or pay for performance for quality. Those are typically associated with using more CMPs in the practice. But we have a long history of very fruitful research associated with identifying medical innovations, adoption, diffusion of medical innovations through these organizational ties, through network ties. And so basically networks, there's two perspectives on networks. One of them considers these interorganizational relationships to be like pipelines where information and resources can flow. Another perspective, the structural perspective, looks at the whole network and says all these connections form a pattern, and where you're at in the space of the pattern means you could have some advantages as far as the ability of obtaining information quickly and resources, or you could be at a disadvantage. And so we have a long history of network research dating back to the 1950s with the Coleman et al. Studies that showed even physician prescribing habits and prescribing a new drug is influenced by their interactions with other physicians. And so we wanted to look at the network influences on CMP use, which have to date been largely unexplored. So we wanted to see if variations in CMP usage among physician organizations are associated with attributes of their network connections. And this really then calls for analysis at two levels. At the physician organization level, we asked simply, does more connections mean the opportunity of having more CMPs? And if you're in the core of the network versus the periphery, are you at a more advantage of resources and though you're able to have more CMPs? So more, it's more of a resource story. The more connections you have, the more exchange partners with hospitals or with HMOs, the more resources you have, then you have the ability to implement more CMPs in your practice. But also at the pairwise level between physician organizations, do we find similarity in the usage of CMPs for these conditions based on shared relationships? For example, those who participate in the same hospital systems or have contracts with the same HMOs, for example, are indirectly linked through these common partners. And so some of that affiliation may result in shared or similarity in CMP use because of it. So we have an organizational level and then also a dyad or pairwise level of analysis. So this requires two phases of the study. First, we did a network analysis of all physician organizations that participated in the managed care network in California. We did that to identify all their connections with other physician organizations, with hospital systems, and with HMOs, and to identify using core periphery analysis, which is a form of block modeling, to identify those groups that were in the core and periphery. Then we took those measures and applied statistical tests on a subset that responded to the National Study of Physician Organizations to see, and with the test, if measures of network attributes were associated with CMP use. And what we'll talk about today is results of the cross-sectional study, which was the surveys of 2001 and 2006. There were two data sources we used. We're fortunate in California to have a lot of publicly available data. Cattaneo and Stroud is a managed care consulting firm in California, and they produce an annual report of a medical group report that lists all their ties with other groups and with hospitals and hospital systems. They get about 95 to 98% respondents every year, and it's publicly available on their website. We use that because it is the whole population of all the players participating in managed care, which is important in doing network studies. And from those data, we developed our independent measures. So physician organizations' connectivities, their ties to other physician groups, to hospital systems, HMOs, and then their structural position in the network. Then we matched that to the CMP data, which was from the National Study of Physician Organizations, which gave us our dependent measures. So we had four chronic conditions and the CMP uses for those conditions. And they were the organizations were merged by a unique ID number that's issued by the Department of Managed Health Care. So the population of physician organizations that participate in managed care dropped by 83 from 2001 to 2006. All of the sectors of the healthcare industry in California experienced considerable consolidation during this time frame. Of those 83 that were lost, 42, so almost half, lost because were closed because of financial hardships. The other approximately 33 of those organizations were merged or bought out entirely by another physician organization, and the few of those left actually dropped all their HMO contracts. So the vast majority, or half, closed, and the other large majority merged or were bought out by another physician organization. The National Study of Physician Organizations examined or surveyed only groups that had 20 or more physicians. You see from 88 to 90% respectively of the organizations in this population met that criteria. And then we had 167 and 180 respectively, so 347 observations in our sample, which is about 50 to 67% of respondents. Difference between respondents and non-respondents basically was we only found differences in the number of HMO connections. The NSPO responders had more HMO contracts than did non-responders, but they, as far as their size, as far as their affiliations with other groups and hospital systems, there was no difference. Just a little example of the connectivity between 2001 and 2006. It was fairly stable. The physician organizations in California had on average three ties with or were connected to three other physician groups. The vast majority of the connections came through a shared management agency. You see that, and there was no difference between 2001 and 2006 as far as their connection with other groups. They averaged affiliating with 4.1 hospitals, and there was a small increase, statistical increase, in the number of affiliations with hospital systems and the number of HMO affiliations between the 2 years, but basically about one was the difference. Wanted to give you a visual display of what the network studies look like. For those who study healthcare organizations like myself, this is proof that our standard methods of that go on the assumption of independent observations really does not hold water. Okay, these are physician organization ties to other physician groups, and you'll see from the chart down there that even though the visuals look the same, the isolates have been removed. So those who had no connections were removed to make it an easier to view the picture. But you'll see there's almost 50% of physician organizations had no connections with other groups, none. And the others, almost the remaining part, were in what we call cliques, which are clusters of three or more physician organizations. So it was almost an all or nothing sort of layout. Either they're not connected with anyone, or they're connected in groups of three or larger. So about 90% of the groups, fit in one of those two categories. We also did the result of the core and periphery analysis. What we did was we examined affiliations with hospital systems, and we ran a core periphery analysis there. And then we did affiliations with HMOs, and did another core periphery analysis. And to be the core in the whole network, we defined it very conservatively. You had to be a core in both of those, both hospital systems and HMO. And you see, one of the assumptions in networks is that groups who are in a core have a resource advantage. And this gives us a little face validity, I believe, that there is some truth to that. The groups in the core were larger in terms of number of physicians. They had more total enrolled HMO patients as a result. But also, they had a very high percentage of their patients were from the commercial plans, the better paying plans, about 70% compared to 55% of those in the periphery. And they had less Medicaid or Medi-Cal in California. We have a robust Medi-Cal managed care program in California, but the core had only about 20% of their patients were in that category compared to the periphery. And the core had more of their operating capacity devoted to managed care. So you see that's determined by the number of HMO enrollees per primary care provider. But still, though, even though they had more, both groups, core and periphery, still have a lot of room left for fee-for-service, so that none of them are really devoting a lot of capacity to managed care. So I want to show you just a couple of some of the statistical analysis results. I have on the screen here the measures that we're interested in. Logistic regression for the odds of being the top quartile of CMP users for each of these chronic conditions. You'll see that for clique membership, those who are in those cliques of three or more physicians, they were had two times the odds of being in the top quartile of users for CHF compared to non-cliques groups. And an interesting thing, we found no differences between the groups as far as the number of hospital system affiliations. But the difference, the interesting thing is the number of HMOs. Each additional HMO affiliation resulted in a lower odds, between 13 to 17% lower odds of being the top quartile of CMP users for asthma and for all conditions. And we found no differences, thank you, we found no differences based on network position. This is similarity. Similarity is defined that they use the same CMP or combinations of CMPs for the same chronic condition. And you'll see on the top here, those are the numbers who met that category, and there's still considerable variation. Even only four CMPs that we're studying, only 18% at diabetes was the highest. So there's still considerable variation in usage of these CMPs. But you see that the greater number of physician organization to physician organization ties improved the similarity of their practice by two times for asthma, CHF, and diabetes. Shared hospital system affiliations also was increased similarity in practice for all conditions except for CHF. And again, shared HMO affiliations resulted in lower odds of practice similarity for asthma and for everything except for CHF. We didn't find any differences when both payers were in the core of the network compared to the reference group, but what we did find was that both when we had payers that both were in the periphery, they were significantly less likely to be similar in their practice for asthma and for depression. So wrapping it up, there is some evidence of some relational and positional effects on CMP use. It seems like supplier and supplier linkages, those between other physician organizations and physician organizations and hospital systems, appear to be more beneficial in the use of CMPs and in CMP practice similarity. On the other hand, there's more negative results for PO and HMO affiliations. That could be based on the nature of the relationships. It could be a qualitative difference between those who produce healthcare and those who purchase it, and that might show up the reason why maybe the influence is stronger in those ties. Also, we show that the core physician organizations enjoyed a structural advantage as far as resources, but we found that the CMP similarity was much lower, or was the lowest among payers in the periphery. So it could be that peripheral physician organizations are at a disadvantage in terms of the flow of information and resources. No research is perfect. This one certainly meets that criteria. Okay, one of the major problems of all network studies is that contextual aspects of the relationships are ignored. Everything's reduced to whether a connection is present or not. We know there's many reasons and motivations for these connections, and that might help explain some more about our findings. I do believe, though, we're one of the few studies that have looked at these different types of relationships from an exchange perspective, which means hospital systems, HMOs, physician organizations, they all provide a different function to the network, and so breaking it out that way, I think, is a contribution. The study examined large physician organizations in California. We all know that's not the norm, right? There is another round of National Study of Physician Organizations now, led by Larry Casolino, who's studying small groups, and be interesting to see what that is. But, you know, we have a longer history of managed care, and California's use of the delegated model, which sort of makes it unique in California. And then anytime you have 5 years between the surveys rounds, which we did, there's a chance for admitted variable bias, even though we controlled for the survey year. So in conclusion, what I do think this finding suggests, though, is that it lends some support to the potential of current reforms, such as accountable care organizations for improving quality, ACOs attempt to align goals and incentives among the providers of health care, and I think that's where we see the benefits are, those linkages. However, these findings also suggest that not every patient will benefit from those, and I think more incentives maybe should be provided for core physician groups to establish linkages with those in the periphery, either the underserved areas or rural areas. Okay, and that's sort of a summary of the findings. Heike, I don't know, do we want to do questions at the end? Or
yeah, probably we should now leave the questions at the end, unless anybody has a burning question. So then I would like to...
Okay. All righty, thank you. Thank you for your attention.